like I said, mate, it's just a good thing you didn't have to put up with all that wailing and screeching of Spectrum games when they were loading up. So I could just imagine one thing, just ears bleeding. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to your favourite podcast, because you're obviously tuning in to us to listen to us, the Retro Resistance. I am the man that wants to rule the world, and I will. Just watch me. ZX Specstar. And joining me today is the man who wants to be a Kamen Rider.
Asperger's Gamer 64.
Is there any truth in what I just said with that?
Yeah, we all can dream, can't we?
Yeah, we could all dream on that one. Yeah, so that's what superheroes were for.
Yeah.
As I said, you do look at it. You look at the Americas, they got all their Batman and Supermans and shit like that, and the Japanese have got their tokusatsu heroes.
Yep.
I don't know who's more original.
All of them are all original. They're all original in their own way.
Yeah, but you could say the Japanese have been copying the same sort of thing for the past 35 years.
But
when you look at it at this angle, so is America.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many times have they retold Spider-Man? How many times have they retold Superman? Blah, 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 blah. Too many times, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Just way, way too many times.
Can get logically confused for new fans.
Yeah, exactly. Which version of Spider-Man is the right one? Well, when you have a look now, they've got the new Spider-Man film coming out, and you've got a slightly different alteration on the story. This wasn't the story I remembered. Shut up and watch it, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Best we can do.
Let's throw in a robot in it. That'll make them good.
You're just wishing now. I'm going to have to disconnect you from the Japanese scene for a while. No sushi for you for a month.
I don't eat sushi.
You should do. It's nice. Or is it just the thought of raw fish? Mm,
eating off people.
You can imagine see some mad Japanese person diving into the sea, caught with a tuna in his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'll to them, it's the normal day of life, so...
Yeah, we'll give them that, so... The Japanese are fucking weird, and God bless them for
it. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, all in all, let's get down to business and why we're here.
Yes.
Well, first of all, let's ask the usual question. What have you been up to, mate?
Well, I've been playing a lot of Fallout New Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also just read a couple of days ago, I finished the first DLC, Dead Money.
Nice.
And also, I've just been watching... Kai Ida 01, the English sub.
You've really got to thank these people who actually take their time out of their lives to do these subtitles.
Oh, yes.
Just it's a fact that one, the Japs don't really want to sell the product over here because I think it's a massive sort of fear of no marketplace.
Yeah, I can really understand that.
Yeah, I can as well. But I give credit to, and here's to if anybody of you guys happen to be listening, but my hat's off to you people. Thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're allowing us to see these great shows with nice, shiny English subtitles. All good there, and keep up the good work.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
That's me. You've got the original Fallout there hanging around as well somewhere, haven't you?
Yeah, funny thing is, I got Good Old Games was given away for free, but I've got it, but I haven't played it yet.
Oh, you should do, because that could be classified as a retro title now, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
That came, was it? I was working in PC World in 1996, 97, and it was available then. So, yes, it's a pretty old game, I reckon.
Yeah, but I haven't played it. They were giving away for free, so I thought,
I'll get
around to Fallout.
Yeah. Post-apocalyptic, it's been done before.
For some reason, I kind of like that one better than their Skyrim series.
Don't say that about Skyrim.
Because I kind of like the post-apocalyptic setting than the fantasy,
Yeah, well, it's two different fine, but let me just check outside the asylum window. Yep, there's a whole bunch of Skyrim fans wanting your head. Because, of course, they're Skyrim fanboys. There's just about anything else that goes with it and all. As for myself, what have I been up to? Well, not much, really. I've had quite a quiet couple of weeks, actually, so it's just been quiet. I've had nothing new come through. Yeah, I've been boring. If anything, what I've been sitting down, I managed to pick up when we went down to Southend, but I've only read out, is the works of Lovecraft and a nice big 900-page leatherback volume of it, which I only paid about a tenner for.
That's all right.
To me, Lovecraft, the guy written in the 1930s, and he writ stuff which in an aspect is horror, but it sticks in your mind. It really does have a lingering sort of effect. And a lot of modern day horror writers, especially the like Stephen King, he actually has a great respect for Lovecraft because he inspired King, which is a very surprising thing to actually hear. And the works itself, I do recommend if anyone could get hold of a copy, because a lot of the works are public domain as well. Get hold of them and just have a read. Reads things like The Call of Cthulhu, which is probably the most predominant character which most people associate with Lovecraft and the Mythos. Dunwich Horror, The Shadow Over Innsmouth. Those last two very, very good stories. And then they're not very long, but just so much detail and so much twistedness goes into the whole sort of thing. Lovecraft just portrayed these gods that existed and the fact that all our religions are lies. And these creatures are the true masters. And it was just done so fantastically. Also, the point is that the people who dabble into this as well, they go literally insane if they go too deep into this. It's just a very expansive universe. I should know because I've also got the Arkham Horror board game. I've got the Elder Sign board game. I've also got the base set for the Call of Cthulhu card game. Yeah, I'm pretty much a devotee.
Yes, definitely.
I'm just trying to think. One of his other good stories is one called Pikmin's Model. And it's a very simple story, but the story revolves around a guy talking to a member of his family. I basically heard a radio version of it, what I heard, but it's roughly the same story, about a painter who basically sees into the darkness, into the horror of humanity. And it basically accumulates with him talking to the thing and how he saw a photograph of this beast he was painting, but then when he actually looked at the photograph was of the beast. So in essence, this thing existed. You can imagine from this guy what would make your mind snap, where if you basically what you've seen in a picture is this horrendous, horrific monstrosity of a creature, and then to actually look at this photograph and to see it's real.
Give anyone the willies.
Exactly, and that's how Lovecraft worked. That's how he worked his magic.
If I walk into a bookstore, I will grab the Twilight book, throw it on the floor and say, read Lovecraft, you want something good?
Well, oh God, with Twilight. I'll tell you one thing, the Gamer Dads podcast, I listened to their latest one the other day, and they mentioned, just look online, and you'll find pictures of the two from Bella and fucking Edward.
Sparkles.
Yeah, and basically a picture of Blade behind them.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Oh, that's a great picture. I think one of the catchphrases I saw on them is like, Edward Cullen's only alive because Blade doesn't classify him as a vampire.
I also saw one where Abraham Lincoln's chasing after him as well.
Oh yeah, that's it. Oh, mind you, I for some strange reason, I want to see that film.
Yeah,
Abe Lincoln vampire killer. Yeah. That just sounds.
I saw the book in W.H. Smith, but I never got around to buying it.
But it just sounds so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the US American presidents is going out killing vampires.
What a guy.
Well, yeah, what a dude. He sits there and rules the country and kicks ass on the inventory.
Yeah.
Just absolutely fantastic.
Run for your life, Sparkles.
Yeah, definitely. But if anybody sits there and says, well, there's no good modern day vampire sort of stories, yeah, go to Stephen King, get a book called Salem's Lot. It's a fucking far better story than with that crap. Put it that way. Stephanie Meyer should hang her head in shame, really, for creating. There's a whole long list of things that is wrong with Twilight on a whole, things like this. I could be here all day, but we're not here to talk about that.
We're not talking about that piece of crap.
Yeah, we're here for retro gaming.
Yes.
Yeah. And this one is a special episode.
Yes.
Because I've in essence put Will on the firing line for this one.
Yes. Always.
All right, but before we do, you do realise from our statistics on Podomatic that we're actually worldwide, mate.
Are we?
Yeah, we got people listening to us all through Europe. There's people in Australia and New Zealand who tune into our podcast. There's even people in Americas as well.
Oh, cool.
That have listened to us. So we're a worldwide audience.
Yay.
So to our American fans and to our everybody else as well, thank you much for joining. Yep. What we say to our American fans, we'll be talking about a system which, unfortunately for you guys, never saw.
No.
No, because all in all, the Commodore 64 for what was for the European and for the Americans was the kind of 8-bit system which the Americans mainly had. Mm. They never had our beloved ZX Spectrum, did they?
No, they never.
And basically, I sent you off on a tizzy.
Yes.
To experience the Spectrum, didn't I?
Yeah.
So, and just to sit down and basically, you got an insight into my childhood.
Yeah.
I know, because that was my machine of my childhood. We'll start off with I know too well you looked at pictures of all the various machines.
Yeah, I did.
That was, what did you think of the looks of the machines through the time?
Well, just looking at, well, since I never actually physically owned one, but after looking at the pictures of the Spectrum, it's just like this built-in computer with a keyboard that you just plug into your TV. Mm. It's pretty amazing. It's because back then, you see, computers were getting a bit cheaper, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
The reason why the Spectrum was made, because he wanted to make a computer for the people, like, you know, cheap for the people to play and all like that.
Yep, so Sir Clive Sinclair, yes. The originator, for one Mr. Harold Gonk, a.k.a. Spinny Fuck, doesn't have no love for.
Oh.
I can't remember what he actually called him in the podcast. Oh. But he called him something or other that wasn't none too pleasant.
Because that's what it was, wasn't it? It was supposed to be like a cheap computer that everybody can buy.
Yeah, that's what he wanted. And my antivirus just outdated.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so Clive Sinclair wanted a machine that was affordable for everyone, yeah. Good for development and pretty cheap. And the Spectrum was born, so...
And also plugging your TV around buying a computer screen. That was one unique thing about it.
It was during the first parts of the age. And also, you were loading the games from cassettes.
Yes, like the cassettes that you heard music from. It's probably laughable today, but back then... Because the reason why they used tapes, because tapes were very cheap, weren't they?
They were very cheap.
To manufacture.
Yes, definitely very cheap to manufacture. During that, and also very easy to copy.
Yeah. Well, some actually Spectrum games got around that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. There was various sort of protections.
Yeah,
that was put
it's like
in,
when you load up Jet Set Willy, you have to go onto World Spectrum to find this big code list. You have to put in.
Yeah.
Colours in.
But that was some of the ones. But in the end, that was very hard and difficult to do at the time because of the sheer fact that we didn't have things as colour photocopiers.
Mm.
So you know what I did? I got some square paper and I literally coloured it in. I was about 8 or 9 years old, gave a copy to a friend of mine. I sat there making this little grid with all these little things. La, 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 and just colouring them in. I was actually like happy as a picking shit that day.
Here you go.
But like I say, because the 48K machine was the first, the little rubber key marvel.
Yeah, a little interesting fact. The rubber keys were actually made in a condom factory.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. Because I read that in the Retro Gamer.
Yeah, so you're sitting there, your ZX Spectrum is sponsored by Durex.
Yeah.
or it's one of those
safest computer ever.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine using my condom my membrane for my Spectrum as a prophylactic. Yeah. I really couldn't.
Shit, I'm out. Oh, here's my Spectrum.
Yeah, can you feel the enter key, baby? Hold on, just go into the shift. Oh, that's just wrong of the moral.
That's just really wrong. That.
But if you could for yourself. Now, my own fondness for the Spectrum itself was for the rubber key 48K. That was always hold a place in my heart, that little machine. Then, of course, then the 128K versions came, and then they went out into the big, chunky plastic versions. And then you had the plus two, plus threes, which added the...
Discs. Where was it built? The one when I built in tape, didn't it? Next to it, didn't it?
Yeah, the plus two had the tape and the plus three had the disc.
So
if you could own any of the Spectrums, which one would you preferably like to own?
There's like six models in.
Yeah. Which one would you think would look cool in your collection if you had it?
Probably the original.
The 48K.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, it's nostalgic, it's original, it's like the first one.
Yeah, I'd have it. I'd have the 48K simply because of... For what it was,
yeah,
and and pressing those little rubber keys,
yeah.
Oh, you just couldn't beat that feeling. You really,
if I own a Spectrum, I have no idea how they're bloody loading up.
Oh, of course. And as a spectrum, this is the only one thing I can actually give the Commodore 64 some credit for, was the fact that you don't have to listen to the horrid wailing and screeching of the loading every now and then, especially with the Ocean Loader and various other games that had the loading music. So
yeah, you have to wait a very long time for your games to load up.
Oh yeah, and trust me, nothing would get more annoying when you got to the end of a game and you said, okay, it's ready to play. Crash. And the first word that usually comes out of an 8-year-old's mouth is, fuck!
Yeah.
Yes. But the funniest thing is, they even crash on the emulators. That's the funniest thing about
really?
It. Yeah, if you actually try loading, some emulators do support the proper loading.
Ah.
For the game, so you can actually load.
Yeah, it's sort of like the load screen come up.
Yeah, they crash. I'm not kidding, they actually crash.
That's probably the first time I've heard of emulator to crash.
Yeah, so I'll say, guys, look, I know the emulators are there to faithfully recreate the system, but that's taking the piss a little.
Yeah. All those bad child memories crawling back to you.
Oh, definitely. But there are still some fantastic things being done, even on the Spectrum today. There, if you look about on YouTube, I'll see if I can actually find the videos. I'll link them into underneath here. There was a guy who actually created a program which allows you to stream video through a Spectrum.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that video.
Yeah, amazing stuff. There was another guy who actually tweeted on his ZX Spectrum.
Really?
Onto Twitter. Yeah.
I would love to see that.
It's on there. It's definitely on there. He basically created a program because the Spectrum, believe it or not, did have a modem.
Yeah. Did it?
Yeah, it did. Back in the days, you only had things like BBS boards to post messages on. But yeah, there was a Spectrum modem. So you could access like little notes and various other tidbits of information around. So yeah, the internet was about then in its stage of absolute infancy.
Yeah, it took it forever. It didn't have one little thing.
Yeah, but the guy had managed to program some sort of protocol and he was able to tweet onto Twitter through his ZX Spectrum.
Wow.
All in all, just fucking amazing. Mm. Absolutely amazing. As far as it goes, if you do look, Russia is still very, very big on the Spectrum as well.
Because when I heard that someone actually did a Spectrum version of Prince of Persia.
That was done by Russia. Same with the Abe's Odyssey Spectrum edition. Again, that was, I believe that was some Russian fellows who did that as well. But like I say, the Russians like their Spectrum even today. And it's just a system that's never died.
No.
So,
consoles will never die. They won't die, because if there's dedicated fans out there,
they will never let it die.
Even like the Dreamcast, homebrew games are still being made for that.
Oh, of course, because it's still a really, really good system. And like I say, they will not let the system die out if it's still there. And because of the internet, because of access to stuff now, and people getting hold of these hardware information, it's making it easier for people to actually create stuff for these older systems, and the spectrum is being one of them.
Yep.
So one of the big things that did go around with the Spectrum as well was programming as well. For me, I did not have a shred of interest in programming.
And as well, I never really got into it anyway, because I never got around it.
Yeah, the one good thing, there was this little magazine called Input Magazine. You might have heard me mention it a few times, but it was possibly one of the best little programming language tutorials at Partworks that ever came out, that I ever saw, that sat there, broke things down, explained it to you, and covered all sorts of aspects. I've seen in a lot of computer magazines today, they're basically kind of up their asses with the whole sort of thing. It's like, oh, you should know this by now, and this is general knowledge, but what if you're some 70-year-old person, excuse me, I don't know how to use my computer. And then they'll sit there, well, go away, you're too old to be using computers. Say that to the 65-year-old guy I sold Carmageddon to once.
But he's enjoying it.
He did. He came back for both sequels.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
But one of the things, he was getting bored of going around the circuits all the time, so and doing standard sort of racing. He wanted something different. I sold it to him. I was thinking, oh, God, I've done something really bad. But when he came back for both sequels, I was like, you know something? That's not too bad after all. Okay, so rolling back to the Spectrum. Let's look at some of the aspects of the thing. Now, music wasn't a big thing on the Spectrum.
No.
So a lot, they only really had to do a lot of some basic sound effects. But any music that was done, there are some really good pieces out there of really good Spectrum music. Mainline one being the RoboCop theme is probably the most iconic out of all of them. So that was just a fantastic little tune to really get the RoboCop game going. And like I say, when people did put some good music on the Spectrum, they had to work hard, because unlike the Commodore 64's SID chip, they had a hard time creating some good stuff, some good music on that one. But I feel when they did, they did. But one thing I want to talk to you about, Color Clash. Did the Color Clash affect your gaming when you started playing some of the games?
No, not really. But it'd be very difficult sometimes, because if it clashes with an item, you can't really see it if you're near it or not, because it goes like over you. But it's just, it did hit me a little bit, but not as much. Not as much to put me off.
Not so sure. Now, a lot of people say it was the charm of the system.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
That's what I like about video game consoles. If you have a charm, stick with it. I like charm with consoles and computers because it has that little charm.
It sits there singing and dancing to and all that lot. When you do look at the, I think it's later on in the society when things like the arcade conversions were being done, the Spectrum worked two ways. They either worked with a multicolor source style game, if you look at the likes of Midnight Resistance, and that had the kind of color clash to it, or they worked on a simple two color scheme where they were allowed to produce some good graphics. Seeing it there, which do you think you prefer, one over the others, either them trying to do multicolor or them just using the two colors to produce a better quality?
So I have played both those 10. Well, I'll tell you this, I like them both, because it just, you get a different variety of type of graphics and games.
That's a fair opinion on that one. It does go. I think for a reason why a lot of companies, when they're doing arcade conversions, went for the two, what I call the two-tone country, and go for the two color system, it allowed them to produce the bigger sprites for their games, and then they were able to make it look that, even though it was only in two colors, it made it look that a little bit closer to the arcade machine. Right, so that was possibly one of those ones. But I think where it really excelled is, I like the arcade conversions. It was good to see them doing what they were doing. They were trying to create this big all-powerful arcade machine onto a small tiny little home system. Then you go back and then you look at the starters, where games had simple plain black backgrounds but had really nice big chunky sprites, which really made the system look good. And that is seen in games like Manic Miner, like I said, Jet Set Willy, Dynamite Dan. So really nicely animated big sprites, like I say, compared to the mishmash and the color clash. And I just feel back in the days there was more charm in that. Definitely a lot more charm in the big odds and ends that you're jumping into. And it also brings me to differ from my old saying, is like, you look at games, you do look at like games like Manic Miner and Jet Set Willy, is like practically the game where anything can kill you, including the toilet. it's just a fun little system. And like I say, it's been emulated quite nicely by a few systems. And if we've got any of our listeners in America, who are listening on this one, I do recommend, there are several emulators, Spectaculator, Fuse, and there are various other ZX Spectrum emulators out and about. And like I say, you guys were used to the Commodore 64, but if you're an open mind of things and you like your emulation, I do say check out the ZX Spectrum. Give some of these games a go, because there were some classic games on that system. And there's the site, which is World of Spectrum. If you just put that in, it'll come up. They virtually have every single Spectrum game.
Not
there.
Every single one of them, because some of them have been disputed, denied,
or they've just said no. If you look alongside, the Codemasters games are one of them, aren't they?
Yeah.
Which I could understand. They're still a fully active company. So yeah, I can say, but you can find them if you look around.
Yeah.
The other one is Ultimate Play the Game as well. They've not, because they are more aptly now known as Rare. Yes, so those people that make sure they made Gears of War, didn't they? Rare?
No, don't think. No, it was somebody else.
No, I know, so, but Rare made things like Banjo-Kazooie.
The classic 007 GoldenEye game.
Yeah, GoldenEye game, and then you actually had something like that, Killer Instinct, Donkey Kong Country.
Cocker's Bad Fur Day.
Yep, so they were making Spectrum games back in the day, so that's where they all started.
Yep.
So,
guess where they are now.
Yeah, where they are, they're now sucking off on Microsoft.
Yep, sucking off the Kinect's tits.
Yeah, I know. It's a downgrade for that company, it really is. But then again, I don't think it's the same team back then as what it was now. Might be a few people there, but I'm not too sure. They're probably about 60 now. But the one thing that you didn't know, GoldenEye on the Nintendo 64.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know there was a Spectrum emulator hidden inside it?
Was there?
Yes.
I bet it's one of those computer screens, weren't it?
There was a Spectrum emulator hidden inside it, and guess what games were hidden in it as well?
What?
Ultimate Play the Games games.
Oh, well, how did you get access to that anyway?
I'm not sure how you access it. Again, there's a few videos on YouTube which tell you how to do it.
Well, so they're built in. Is that a Spectrum emulator in GoldenEye?
In GoldenEye, with some of their old games built into it.
I didn't know that until now. What the hell? How did you get...
I only found that out the other month as well. So so the ZX Spectrum is still creeping about in your neighbourhood, whether you like it or not.
Creeping from the GoldenEye cartridge. How do you access it?
Have a look on YouTube. I'm pretty damn sure they tell you how to do it there. So it's got something to do with something or other, but it's long-winded.
Wow.
But I'll say
very new today.
Okay, so all good on that. So for all you people who have now got your GoldenEye cartridges and you're living in the UK, you're probably slamming them into your 64. Where's the emulator? Where are these games? They're in there. Just have a look. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Why didn't they put one in bloody Killer Instinct as well?
Why couldn't they just put in the magazine and tell you had access to them?
Yeah, it's true. So and then also you look at the old Spectrum game, yeah? Mm. Saber Wolf.
No, I never played that one.
And yeah, so but then what other game did Rare make?
God, I can't remember.
Think Killer Instinct? And there just happens to be a character on that game called.
Oh, so that's one of the characters. Saber Wolf. Yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So a dedication to the old Spectrum game? Yeah, I definitely think so. Even as time goes by, there's still dedication to the Spectrum laying about everywhere. And it cannot be avoided. You've heard it here. It cannot be avoided. The Spectrum lays down the law everywhere it goes. Okay, right. Should we talk about some of your gaming experience now, mate? Uh-huh. Okay, so you've been playing a mishmash of games. I gave you a list, didn't I? You gave me some back for what you played. Yeah. And so we're just scouting down here. And the first one you came up with this was Manic Miner. So give me your impressions of Manic Miner, mate.
Well, Manic Miner is pretty much one of the hardest Spectrum games I've played, but it was very challenging.
Yeah, back in the days, games were hard back in the days.
But what you had to do, really, you play as a guy called Miner Willie, and you have to collect all these items in one single screen before the air runs out. Then when you collect more, you got to get to the exit. But there was one level that really annoyed me. It's there was this guy going up and down, up and down. If you collected all the items, you had to quickly get to the exit as fast as you can because he'll come down and block the exit. That really annoyed me.
it's a beginner's trap.
Yeah.
That's the thing about that game. After every level you do, is it's beginner's trap on each of them. So you'll play the game again and again and again until you'll know how to do each and every level, and you'll do it first time every time. But you had to practice a lot. How long did you practice on that for?
I can't remember now. A good number of hours, actually.
The funny thing, you could easily burn a couple of hours off playing that game. You just lose time on that very easily, don't you? But you also like poking the games to give yourself infinite lives as well, don't you?
I didn't put pokes in. I didn't.
So you was hardcore in it, was you?
Yeah, I was proper hardcore in it.
Did you ever get to the end, or did it defeat you?
Defeated me, I believe. I cheated at the end anyway. I went to the last game at the end anyway, last level at the end.
you worked out the way how to skip the screens. Yeah, okay. So out of a scale of 1 to 10 spectrums, how much would you give Manic Miner?
10.
With what? 10 spectrums. Okay. And
it's now a classic in its own right.
Okay, right. We'll move on to the next game as well, which is Jet Set Willy.
Oh.
Which is the sequel, where Miner Willy has got extremely rich and also very, very drunk. Very, very drunk at the party. Yeah. So do you want to carry on with that one?
Well, apparently he had a party and he got very drunk and his housemaid won't let him go to bed. So, because she said, no, I'm not cleaning all this mess up. So, it's up to Miner Willy to clean up the house before you can go to bed.
Not the most original plot, really, is it? but nevertheless, it was basically more Manic Miner style fun, but there was more exploration.
It's more like a big place. You have to clean up every item. You have to get every room. But unfortunately, this house was cursed by the previous owner. Miner Willy has to avoid the enemies to collect all the items.
Yeah, because everything is out to try to kill him. And like yeah, as per usual. But this time you're trying to get killed by inanimate objects. And think, here's the biggest question. Did you get past the banyan tree?
No.
Oh, the banyan tree claims another victim. I managed to do it. There's actually a video on my channel on YouTube, which is, I think it's called something like Me Versus the Banyan Tree. And I think I was loading, save to try and get past it. But I beat the bastard. I actually managed to get across it. And I remember when I was a kid, that game just drove me nuts. And that banyan tree just fucking sent me mental. Absolutely mental. So, but all would you say it was a good sequel to Manic Mile, or do you reckon the new way wasn't quite as good?
It kind of felt too much like the original in a way. But I kind of feel like it was feeling under pressure, weren't it?
It was under pressure, and there was a few bugs in it as well.
Yeah, I heard about the attic bug.
Yeah, it does play a little unfair, but to the guy who programmed it, he was under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, because I think that's the problem with some. You know when you get like a good hit, but then when you're trying to make a sequel, you're always under a lot of pressure, aren't you?
Oh yeah, it's
true. What really annoys me about certain games today. It's like, don't go under the pressure, just try and make something original and that stands out.
Yeah, they don't like doing things like that nowadays.
No, they're more like colonized.
Yeah. Okay, right. So out of 10 spectrums, Jet Set Willy?
5, because it's... I'll give it an 8.
You give it an 8, then that's good then. And if it's still up and running, apparently there's a Jet Set Willy online, which is like MMO Jet Set Willy.
Yeah.
Okay, but if you have to, I don't know if you agree with this one. It possibly has the best cover, as Guru Larry says, and I don't definitely agree with this one. The best cover ever for a computer game case. Someone with their head down the toilet throwing up.
Yeah, you won't see Master Chief doing that anytime soon.
Oh no, definitely you're not going to see that happening. But Larry, yes, you're correct with that. Best
box art
game cover ever. So hats off
to you. Having a seal as a butler.
Yes. Definitely. Okay, right, next one you gave me on the list. I've not played this one, but only you did. But the reason why I said for this one, which was 3D Death Chase, because it got rated as the best game ever on the
Spectrum. I kind of agree with it, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you play as this guy on a motorcycle, you're like a bounty hunter or something, and you have to drive around this forest by shooting the other opponents as well while getting money. But you have to avoid the trees as well, which... Being like it's in 3D on it, there's no 3D aspect in it, but I can understand where the 3D tree, like the trees were trying to get like a 3D aspect. It was very difficult to avoid the trees off at times.
Yes.
But as you get further on levels, the more trees appear, makes it more harder to avoid.
I can imagine when you get later in the game, you're surrounded by trees. Where do I go?
Really, I've got about stage 5, I think, at one point.
Oh, nice. So,
would you night as well.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that one. So, would you agree for the time that it would have been the best game on Spectrum, or would you kind of disagree from what you've played?
After playing it, it's not like the best, but it's one of the best that the ZX Spectrum has to offer.
Good. So, how many Spectrums out of 10?
10, because it's a 10. Really good game. I would not pass this game down for anything. Just check it out. It's a really cool game.
Okay, dokies. Right, next on the list, the ZX Spectrum version of the Addams Family.
This one finished all the way through. This one was totally different between the Super Nintendo version. Now, this was a big shocker to me. Because in the Super Nintendo version, when you pretty much go into different stages, didn't you, for the doors. And then when you go through the stage, you fight the boss, and then you get the rescued family member. But in the ZX Spectrum version, you had to go around in different areas, collecting different keys to unlock different areas. And when you found the family member, and when you jump on them, you have to, do not die for 60 seconds. So there's no boss. You have to pretty much survive for 60 seconds. Then when you've done that, you get the family member rescued. But if you fail, they won't accept your rescue.
Being rejected by your own family, that's just bad. Especially for the Adams family. If one of them rejected each other, then that's just seriously, seriously bad. But no, the graphics for the time for the Spectrum version was just...
Yeah, fantastic.
They were really good. They worked really, really well. And that came... I can't remember if it was properly released or not, but that was really towards the end of the Spectrum's lifetime.
91.
Yeah, Ocean, who worked on that one, really pulled out the stops of that one.
They really, really did. But don't worry, I used to cheat that game anyway because I just had to.
It's hard. It takes a lot of practice.
There is a cheat you can actually put in the beginning of the game. I can't remember what it was called. Probably one of the best cheat codes ever.
Oh, I know what my best cheat code for is. It's on Carmageddon, and it involves a very nasty four-letter swear word. quick detour. The cheat code to activate all cheat codes on Carmageddon for the PC is simply, while you're playing the game, type in "I bet you can't print cunt."
What?
Yeah, that's what it is. I'll put another explanation for it down at the bottom of the webpage. Yeah, that's what you have to type to access the cheat code. Right, back to the Spectrum. Right.
let me just find it. Probably the best cheat code I've ever come across ever. What was it called? To get Infinity Credit Cheat. What you do is load up the game. You know, when you get to the intro, you type in... let me repeat that. The Infinity Credits Cheat. Load up the game. Wait until the story text starts. It's a black screen with text scrolling vertically. While the text is scrolling, you type, "Won't you just die if you won't... Well, you don't have Sky."
Oh dearie me.
And then you can also do that, and number will come up with cheats, press number 7 to put cheats on and off. But if you're a beginner, I would recommend putting the cheats on, or just find pokes.
Yeah, pokies. Pokes being the mainline cheat service for the Spectrum. A little bit of programming you stick in and it messed about with the game.
There was also a hidden code in the Spectrum version, hidden message, ranting that burglars are car thieves and scum of the earth and should be hugged or shot if they enter your home.
You know something, that actually feels quite like it should be today. Yeah. So even back then in 91 they were getting it right.
Yeah. Well, that was a pretty good cheat code, weren't it?
Oh yeah, definitely that one. But for platforming gaming, Adam's Family was pretty damn good.
Yeah, but the control when you control Gomez was a bit awkward. Because you had to do a lot of running jumps and all like that.
But that's always a good part of a platform game if you have to do things like that. And also tidy with the really good film that came out as well.
Yes, definitely.
God bless Raul Julia, the best Gomez Adams I've ever seen.
And the best Bison.
Yeah, oh yeah, true.
You said to find a madman, but except you'll find a god.
And then he suddenly realised, boy, this film sucks. Yeah.
Anyway.
Adam's Family, how many speckies out of 10?
I give it a 10 because I just love that game.
Okie dokies. Right. Another one you delved into, which any self-righteous 8-bit fan who played on either Amstrad, Commodore, or Spectrum, the Dizzy series.
Dizzy. Got into Dizzy, but when I played Prince of the York Folk, I just got really into it. I could not stop playing it until I finish it.
Yeah, have you bought the Android version?
No, I haven't.
Blasphemy!
Yeah, but I heard that. You said to me that was buggy.
We're on about version 3 of it now, so they might fix some of it. So I had it on day 1, so... if in fact I was sitting there at stroke of midnight, as soon as it said, was like, "You may download, click." Yeah, I had that straight away, yeah. I'm a big Dizzy fan.
But you know, you're a massive Dizzy fan.
Yeah, so you've sat back and played a few Dizzies.
I've only played like one very quickly.
But the good thing is, even from that one, the others in the series are very similar to the same foundation. But your opinions on how Dizzy works?
Well, the reason why it works, because there are like some specific parts of the game need a specific item. Well, the reason why I used the walkthrough, because there's so many items in the game, Some will specifically work for this and some won't. So you don't know what this item will do to this, or you don't need this item or not, you don't need this, or maybe you need that. It is kind of a bit confusing for beginners. But using a walkthrough, I would highly recommend. There's nothing wrong using a walkthrough. It'll just make it more easier and less
confusing. It's exactly. Because still with the good thing with Dizzy, even though you're being told which way to go, even if you're using a walkthrough, you still have to use your skills in platforming to get across places, especially with things like Magic Land, Dizzy, Treasure Island. You need to find the diamonds, you need to find the coins, so it all had to be, and things like Prince of the Oak Fairy, it was cherries, wasn't
it? Yeah, hidden throughout the level, you have to really find them, because you need to find them all to get the ending.
Yep, so because Daisy wants to make a cherry pie. I bet Dizzy wants some of her cherry pie.
Yeah. For the grand old Dizzy.
Oh yeah. And that's the thing, even back then for an 8-bit game, they created a family, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I don't really think there was any other game that had a recognisable sort of family as what Dizzy did. I really, really don't think there was. So overall your impressions of Dizzy are pretty good.
Yep, very.
Yep. But there's one game in the Dizzy series I want you to emphasise on again, which...
like I did before, but I will do it again.
You do it again for Quick Snacks now.
Yes, Quick Snacks.
We will keep this short, we will keep this sweet, because you played both, and can we have your emphasis again on Quick Snacks, just for the sake of Glen 80 for up 3100?
The ZX Spectrum version is the best version out there.
Exactly, so... but you know, so I will give credit to Glenn. No, it's what he grew up with. He likes it. We're not going.
I'm sticking my guns. ZX Spectrum.
Yeah, exactly. but I say so.
It's more of a puzzle feel.
Yeah. Whereas I'll give credit to the Commodore 64 version being a bit like a
Pac-Man clone.
See that? So it was different. Yeah. So we're being fair. It was two different games in that aspect. So, and like I say, if he does like it, that's fair enough. It's all good for Glenn. Yeah, it's fine by me. Yes, for you. You'll just need to go home and cuddle your fluffies. So, would you give Dizzy a big thumbs up?
Yep.
Yep. Tens.
Yep.
Again,
ten all the way.
There's only one game so far that's only got less than 10. Oh, but I think this is about to change, big time. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, shit. And I thought the NES version was horrible, but the ZX Spectrum version, oh my god, that was even horrible.
The one thing I will give for the Spectrum
the arcade one, the number 2, was better.
Yeah, it was. But for the original version, the one thing I will give to the Spectrum version, the graphics were nice.
Yeah.
I will give them that. But it had the inhibitory bug, whereas on all the other versions, like the Nintendo version, when you get hit, you get knocked backwards, and you're basically invincible for a few seconds, so give you enough time. With the Spectrum version, it didn't happen. No. They continued following you.
Yeah, and sometimes hug you as well.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, all the bad guys moved at the same speed as what you did.
Whoa.
So if you're trying to run away and they catch you, they'll rinse out. Yeah, and it's just... Oh, it was a horrible, horrible conversion. Mm. And they couldn't even get the Turtles theme tune in there. And that's the first statement which I made when I reviewed it on my channel, my YouTube channel, is like, where the fuck is my Turtles theme tune? As I said, it's like, how can you call this a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game and there's no bloody theme tune?
Yeah.
Ugh. It was not that hard. Even if the arcade only did about 10 seconds of it.
Yeah, but it was still awesome.
During the attract mode, but you still got the feel. Mm,
definitely.
And you're thinking like,
Feel the turtles.
Exactly. That just sounds wrong.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm about to feel the turtles. Come here, Michelangelo. Allow me to feel you.
Feel you, my good sir. I shall feel you, sir.
Yeah. I'll show Donatello what to do with his bow staff.
Every time I always play a Turtles game, I always pick Donatello because Donatello is awesome.
It's true. And on the Nintendo version and all that, you use Donatello as your advantage because, yes, he had the big long reach.
Yeah, he went to the Wing version. Was it Rocksteady? and he'd jump over top of the thing and just fire your bow down. He'd just hit him, like, just spam on him.
Yeah, it's true, but you'd only use him just for the impact. And the, but the whole problem is on the Spectrum version, he's got no longer range than any of the others.
Oh, bollocks.
And yeah, exactly, major scale hairy bollocks. And it's like when you press the fire button, it's like you see like little weapon flick out, just no animation on it whatsoever. And you're just like thinking, it's like, right. Now, if I remember right, the Amstrad version wasn't any different. So. In fact, I think they were both the bloody same.
Well, they will be, wouldn't they?
Yeah. No, I mean, they were exactly the same.
Yeah, that's what I said. They will be exactly the same.
Well, no, because some Amstrad games, they did have differences in graphics, and there was absolutely no difference whatsoever. It was exactly the same game. So as I said, they're like, why didn't you just put the Spectrum version on one side and Amstrad version on the other side? Which for some budget games, they actually did later on. When Amstrad took over Spectrum, some budget games, especially I think there was a title called budget line called Ricochet. Mm-hmm. They actually had the Spectrum game on one side, then you flip it over, and the Amstrad version was on the other.
Oh, that's all right. Mm. Pretty
so
cool.
So you end up saving yourself some money.
Two versions of the price of one.
Yeah. So if you have both machines, well, you're definitely in luck there. Well, so for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, how many Spectrums for that one?
None.
Oh. Do you want to give it one just for the okay-ish graphics?
Yes.
Okay.
Something generous.
That's being fucking very generous for that game.
Yeah, I'd be very generous for that game from now.
Yeah, I know, but I remember seeing that game and I actually remember crying how bad it was. It was terrible. Oh, it shall remain in my dreams forever. Okay, right, going down the list. We're looking for redemption here. Jack the Nipper.
I'm going to be difficult talking about this one. I never really fully got into that game. It was really good because you just play as this baby just trying to get into trouble all the time. You do things just trying to get your naughty meter up.
Yeah, and for the time, again, it was something that a lot of people just didn't see originality. Wow, you're playing a game where you actually have to be... You actually have to be naughty. You actually have to do wrong things. Mm. And I'm not quite sure there was any other game for the Spectrum like that at the time. Well, maybe with the exception of School Days or Back to School. But it was the first one that really did emphasise the fact that you win by bad behaviour.
Yeah, what a great analogy for today's youth.
Yeah, it's true. But the other side as well, there were so many little things you could do which really push your naughty meter. I was like, when you walk into the gardens, you drop the weed killer and it just kills all the plants. Or you walk in, if you've got the pot of glue, you walk into the false teeth factory shop and you glue them all shut. And again, it was really, really original. And I can see slight Dizzy sort of elements, even though it came out before it. Going around with it, as I said, there's like, use this item here for maximum naughtiness. And the game itself was pretty fair as well. You could get very far if you sat down and played it. It was just a really nice game. Now, there was a sequel. I didn't like the sequel. And Andy loves the sequel, but I didn't like it. I really didn't. So Jack the Nipper, what would you say for Jack the Nipper on Spectrums?
I'll give it 7.
Give it 7. Could do better, basically, on this one. Right, next one on your list. Aha, another classic. Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee. Everybody consider that the greatest classic ever made.
One of them, yes, definitely.
Well, it was... I kind of liked it, actually. It was pretty unique. You had to, like, collect all these things, didn't you? And you had to, like, kick into people as well, just to stun them so you can get them. It was pretty cool.
Probably, and it says as you dash around the screens, and it's quite hefty on these screens. There was some sort of element later on where you had to hit certain odds there to open passageways so you could get further on, and then you had the green Yamo and what I used to call the Javelin Man running around trying to stop you, basically, in what you're trying to do. And even if you didn't have to fight them, you could usually hop past them pretty quickly to get to where you want to. And it was a very simple, it was a great game. It really worked well. I think it came out about 84, 85, I think it did. And it was just a great fan. The only thing which people do say about it was just a little too easy on that one. And I'd have a tendency to agree. Once you got used to playing it, then yeah, it was easy to play. So, but all in all, you say it's a really fun game to play.
Yeah,
it's just plain, it's simple, it works. And so how many spectrums for Mr. Bruce Lee then?
Eight.
Right, could do better on that one.
Oh, for God's sake, it's my opinion.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the company, not you.
Oh.
Was it banana? Okay, right. We'll go for one more game. And I've decided that from the two you gave me, I'm going to go with Bomb Jack because that's the older one.
Yeah.
Right. Bomb Jack was in the hole. What did you think of it being an arcade conversion?
Actually,
Spectrum?
Really, really good. I personally enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah.
You feel like you're playing a proper arcade port, which is what you...
It was a really, really good port because it couldn't do what it did graphically because of basically the limitations of the Spectrum. But the way they did it, it looks fantastic. The backgrounds look really, really nice. It was just done really, really well. And that to me is a game that will always, always, always stick out to me. So what else did you like about that one?
It was very enjoyable to play. I really enjoyed playing it. I did a review on it anyway, so.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I didn't see that one.
Yeah, I did a review on it.
Oh, yeah, that's why I haven't got you logged on to my YouTube and send me whenever you send a video. Oh, dear. You can beat me up for that one later. The lemons will be going off tonight in the retro asylum,
yes,
in the retro asylum's basement. Oh, dearie me. But overall, so Bomb Jack, nice conversion, done very well. I think the only thing that let it down was no music.
Mm.
That was the only thing. But then again, I'm not complaining. it was still a great game.
Well, it is.
And yeah, back when I was young, yeah, man.
Back in the old days, we didn't have music for our Spectrum games.
Oh, yeah. If we did, then it'd be very good music because they put effort into it. Did you ever play RoboCop?
No. I'll get around to that one
there. You should do. Okay, final score for Bomb Jack in Spectrums.
10.
10.
It's a fantastic port.
Yeah, Jack is a good one. Right, so I'll round this up to the question to you, mate. Now you sat down and you played the system. Do you appreciate basically what I had to play with when I was younger?
Yes, you did. I appreciate.
Yeah, and would you actually sit down today, and actually, if someone handed you a Spectrum today with a box full of games and said, "This is all you could play with for a year," would you be happy to just sit down, rummage through the box, and just sit there and play those games?
Yeah.
Yep. Sign of a true dedicated fan to retro, if you ask me on that one. Mm-hmm. So, yep. And if you can load them all. Well, it'll probably take about a month or so to load them all up anyway. So there you go. That's only 11 months to go. Hey! Oh, no, I'll give you a box of about 200 games in. But as far as it goes, we only covered tip of the iceberg when it comes down to Spectrum gaming. The Spectrum had close to around 9,000 titles, if I remember rightly, and there ain't a game system today that can break that.
No, there isn't.
Yeah, there isn't. But I will give to the fact that 8,000 of them were shit. Does anybody need to remind anybody of the Cascade Cassette 50?
Yes, you got very pissed in your coffee chair.
Oh, dearie me. Do you think it's time to actually reveal the truth behind that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a Disaronno in that bottle.
Was there really Disaronno in that bottle?
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
It looked like it, but it wasn't.
I wish it was.
Trust me, playing through that shit, I wish it was as well. For anyone who wants to know, for the reveal of that thing, what was actually in that bottle was actually apple juice.
So you're drinking this on urine sample.
Well, lucky enough, the apple juice I actually picked up was actually the same colour as what the Disaronno was. So I got lucky there because I know different companies have. Why are we talking about the colour?
Yeah,
of
we're talking about colours of blue Disaronno here. Come on.
Yeah, mind you, remembering that now, I can actually do with a quick shot of that now. That stuff is just too nice. But for anybody who's interested in getting into Spectrum gaming, who've never heard of it before, even maybe some of our younger ones, and again, people who are listening to us in the Americas. Find some Spectrum emulators. Give yourself an open mind and give this little system a go. You're not going to be disappointed if you pick up the right games. Like I say, the games we covered are just tip of the iceberg. I'm probably imagining that a few of the titles. I imagine things like Manic Miner, Jet Set Willy probably are known in America. We all know the Addams Family are.
Yeah, definitely.
Is definitely been and Bomb Jack is probably known as well, but they would have never saw the
and Rainbow Islands as well.
Definitely Rainbow Islands. Yeah, we was going to mention Rainbow Islands as we'll just say Rainbow Islands was a very good port to the Spectrum, despite the fact it couldn't get the whole entire sort of rainbow thing. When you fired them, you end up with a Spectrum. It's kind of contradictory, is it? Because the Spectrum is what discovers the seven colors of the color spectrum of the rainbow, and you end up with about three of them.
Very weird.
You ripped us off, Ocean. I'm not happy. Where do I register my complaints?
To P.O. Box, up my arse, UK.
Yeah. Go to the website, www.idontcare.com. But like I say, if anybody's looking about an airline, I say, find yourself a nice Spectrum emulator. Like I say, Spectaculator or Fuse. Very good little emulators. Get yourself some Spectrum images and play some of these games. And hell, if you fall in love with the system like Will has, and like many people in the, many people in the UK have as well, you won't be disappointed. Okay, I think that wraps this show up for this fortnight.
Yep.
All right, so coming up next fortnight. Ooh, what's next fortnight?
The Mortal Kombat podcast.
Yes. Yes, Mortal Kombat. So next episode, me, Will, and Malk will be back, and we are going to be discussing Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And the ups, the downs, and possibly Mortal Kombat 1, 2, bleh, 4. Hold on a second, I've got to wash my mouth out with bleach for that one. So, we'll be having a nice discussion about the Mortal Kombat series. Plus, Potty Boy, hopefully, fingers crossed, and patting the head and just everything else, will be joining us for that conversation as well.
Yay.
So, the four of us are going to go on a trip down memory lane and Mortal Kombat, and probably a massive grabbing rant and a rave about Mortal Kombat 4. Yeah. So, something for you all to look forward to. Okay. Thank you everyone at the Retro Asylum for hosting us and supporting us and basically allowing us to put up our video. So Andy, you know we're talking about you.
Yeah, definitely.
So big thanks, dude. Also thanks to Glenn, and also thanks to Swainy for dealing with their side to keep their podcast. Oh, did you listen to the Movie Asylum podcast?
No, I haven't.
I'll put a big thank you to Phil out, who did the Movie Asylum podcast, which you can also catch from both iTunes and the Retro Asylum site. You've got to listen to that, mate. Great, great look over on Back to the Future. Really, really good podcast that was.
Mm-hmm.
Phil is just awesome. He's also a World of Warcraft player as well, so the difference is he's still playing. So if you're a Back to the Future fan and you want to listen to some nice, good, honest opinions on the series, and it's a great film anyway, guys. I do recommend you check out the Movie Asylum podcast, courtesy at retroasylum.com, or check out Retro Asylum at Podomatic or iTunes.
Want to thank
Malk for keeping up for his hard work, and you guys did a fantastic job on the last podcast, mate. Really, really good job there. So you two will be working again pretty soon. I think you had a very good lead on that one as well, mate. You pulled out a lot of information even I didn't know about Metal Gear.
Fanboyism.
Yeah. I look at the warning. Well, I've got to review StarCraft soon, and am I going to fanboy on that? Hell yes. I'm definitely going to fanboy on that game.
Yep.
You can't. There's some games you can't help.
No,
if it's your favorite game. Yeah, and I know it's not good to be a fanboy.
Yeah, but come on.
In essence, but there are just some games you like that much, you're gonna do.
We're not one of those fanboys who think like Call of Duty was the only one game and nothing else.
Well, my own opinion is like StarCraft was the greatest RTS game that ever came out, and was that way until StarCraft 2 came out. it's just simply that simple.
Mm.
As far as I see it. So that's what's coming up for us. So big thanks to Malk. Big thanks to our gaming buddies, Blim and Potty Boy has been joining us.
Yes, he has.
For evening talks as well. So we've been chatting to
Mac.
On his Mac. I've got a feeling his Mac is going to give up and fall apart in a minute soon.
Well, there's one thing I can get credit for the Mac. You can prevent Jigsaw from preventing playing games on it.
Yeah, definitely true. Well, he tried playing Team Fortress, they were trying to try joining the server. He basically got the fuck off. But bless him for trying, but no, he needs to get a PC. Yeah, he needs to get a PC. Thank you to Blimsy and thank you to Potty Boy for joining us on our evenings for light entertainment, gaming and casual talk.
Yes.
Yeah, we sit there talking
and schmalfing all the time.
Yeah, schmalfing.
She's gonna kill me, isn't she?
Yeah, Blimmy is gonna kill you. Right, and now for a word from our sponsor. The word will be schmalf. Yeah. If anyone who's actually on you know something, I'm actually setting up a Twitter account for Retro Resistance. I'm actually going to trend schmalf. Yeah. I got to get everybody on Twitter saying it. Yep, so big thank you to everyone and anyone who contributes to the podcast as well. Buzz Pop now is contributing quite a fair. Scoopy, like to see a new video from you soon, mate. Definitely would like to see some new stuff from you because you're at about. Thank you for the guys that live in the forums, especially Denarius, Darren, Dig Dug Diggler. I can't remember his name. Dig Dug. These are the big guys on the forums. So. They are the people that know.
And also Guru Larry hiding in the shadows.
Yeah, he does like hide in the shadow. Thank you for your points of what we've used today, Larry. We definitely referenced you a couple of times through that one. And I'll say also we keep mentioning the Gamer Dads podcast is back again. So they came back this Monday at time of recording. and they were having a bit of a ranty talk about Microsoft's thing at E3, but we're not going to get into that. Shh, modern day stuff. So the Gamer Dads are going to be back, and they're back in full force again. Arcade and Retro, I think it's about time we uploaded another episode of theirs, I think. So we're going to see some more of that, and Buzz Pop's Odd Pod as well.
I remember them.
Oh, I remember Pogs as well. I had about four of them, and I considered that my collection. They were mine.
Oh, I know we're going on topic, but Pogs. Oh, I used to enjoy playing that at school.
You sit there slamming them down on each other, just trying to flip them.
Sometimes you end up with a lot. Sometimes you end up with none.
Yeah, it was always a piss off when you sat there and slammed one down, got one off, and then he slammed and walked out with a handful of yours, just like, huh?
Yeah. But hey, it was good stuff back then.
It was good
men
stuff.
Were
it
men.
Yeah, and when 80s cartoons were fucking awesome. Yeah, 90s cartoons were. Yeah, oh yeah, some 90s cartoons were awesome, but then when you look at 2000s cartoons, you like sit there and say, yeah, you're not as good as what you used to be.
They don't push the boundaries like the 80s did.
No, the 80s always pushed the boundaries because things were a little more liberal back then. They got away with things a lot more, and especially, some of the things they got away with, we'll have to look into that at some point. Okay then, right, so that's rounding up for everybody. So it's a... And that will do it. Right. Like I said, mate, it's just a good thing you didn't have to put up with all that wailing and screeching of Spectrum games when they were loading up. So I could just imagine one thing, just ears bleeding. All right, but stopping now. Big thank you for everyone. So it's goodbye from me.
Yeah, it's goodbye from me.